according to Luke. I want to show you a wonderful story in the Bible this morning. In fact, it is one of my favorite stories that I can read to you in God's Word. And today I want to preach to you on this subject, falling down at the feet of Jesus. All throughout the Bible, we find people that have fallen down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, that is where God wants to find each and every one of us. At the feet of His Savior. At the feet of Jesus Christ. When we think of being at the feet of our Savior, it is a place of surrender. It's a place of submission. It's a place of humility. It's a place of yielding. It's a place of honor and respect. It's a place of acknowledging God's rightful place in our life. When I come to Luke chapter number 8, in fact, we're going to read and find different stories about people that have been found at the feet of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a day and time of great need. By the way, we have the National Emergency Number Association today, which we know is 911. In fact, on most cell phones, even if you cannot get into the cell phone, you can make an emergency call, 911. Years ago, I know some of you don't know what these are, but we had pay phones around our land, all right? And my kids maybe have never seen one, but you could call 911. And 911 is a call for help. It's a call of desperation. In fact, every year in America, over 240 million calls are made to 911. That's 650,000 calls every day of people calling out for help. Now, some of the calls are not truly legitimate desperation calls. In fact, I heard some stories about this in Shelby County, Ohio, not too far from here. In fact, a man who really didn't want to call 911, he was burglarizing a home. And in his pocket was his cell phone. And he pocket dialed 911. So the police showed up at the home where he was burglarizing. And he hid in a closet. But because his phone was about to go dead, it made a noise and the police arrested him. All right? I don't really think he was really that desperate to be caught. I also heard about these are true 911 calls. I've researched a little bit of this. It's amazing what sometimes people call that they think is desperation. One lady called 911. She received a package from Amazon. And she opened it up, and there were packing peanuts in there. And she called 911 because her children were allergic to peanuts, and she was very distracted about this, all right? Was also a woman in Dacula, Georgia, where I know I've been there. She contacted police when her Chevy van went missing. It was gone. She couldn't find it anywhere. Later on that day, she called back to report that the vehicle had been found. It was in her yard, hidden behind some weeds that were in her yard. I think she needed desperation for a lawnmower, you know? And lastly, I heard about a man who called 911. He worked the shift where he went to work when it was dark, and he got off work when it was dark. And one day, as he had gotten off work a little bit later, he lived in Texas, and where there was a scare about fires. He called 911 and said, "I'd like to report a fire." And the person said, "Where is it located, sir?" And he said, "On the hillside, just east of Houston here." And the 911 said, "Can you give me more specifics about this fire?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, it's getting bigger. Bigger as I see it. On the top of the hill, it's getting bigger and larger." And the 911 person said, "Stay calm, sir. Help is on its way. We are sending help right now." And then he said, "It's getting bigger. Does anyone see this? It's lighting up the whole sky." And then the man stopped and said, "Oh, I'm sorry. It's just the sun coming up, all right?" And he said, "I'm sorry." He said, "Usually I get off when it's dark, and I forgot that the sun came up like that." Well, sometimes there are calls that are not desperate calls. But I want you to know something today. Our God is working to bring us to the place of desperation. Do you know that throughout the Bible, God works to bring people to the place of desperation, to the place where they're desperate for God, to where they know that they need God? By the way, brethren, if we were content to just live the kind of life that we are living now, in our contentment, you'll just stay the same place and stay the same person. But God works, as I preached a few weeks ago, on breaking up our nest. He works to move us to the place of desperation. Years ago, when I was a youth pastor, it was 12 years, I enjoyed working with young people. I had a dad come to me one day, and he was desperate. He had two boys, and he said, Brother Samples, he said, my boys are going the way of the world. He said, they have no heart for God. And he said, I want you to pray with me about my boys. And I said, well, let's come in my office and let's pray right now. And I knew the boys, and they were in my teen group. And I remember as I let the dad pray first, can I tell you something? He was a father in desperation. He cried out to God. He wept. He begged God to get a hold of the hearts of his boys. And that father made a covenant with God that he would pray and fast and seek the Lord for his boys. Both of those boys today are in the ministry serving the Lord because of a desperate father. I had a man in church years ago that he told me the story about how he came to know the Lord. Him and his family were lost, all of them without Jesus Christ. Years ago, the days before, you did not have to wear seat belts in cars. And he said he had a large family. They were sitting at a stop sign one day. They had their youngest child, just an infant, just a baby of just a few months old. And the mother was holding the baby in her lap, just like everyone else did. And someone came up behind them, not seeing them, and rammed into the stopped car. And with the force of the impact, shot that baby through the windshield, and it died on impact. And the man said to me, he said, we were in a false religion. A religion that taught works to get yourself to heaven and you could do enough good deeds to find a place in heaven. And he said, through that, I found no comfort in my church. I found no comfort in what I'd been taught. And he said, I began to seek after God for my own self. He said, I began to read the Bible. I began to listen to Bible preaching on the radio. And it was through that desperation time of needing hope and needing comfort in his life that he and his wife and all of his family came to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Can I tell you something today? You may say, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I know Christ as my Savior. But our God is working to bring us to the place where we are desperate for Him. Can I ask you something before I read our text? When is the last time you came to the place in your life where you got along with God and you said, God, I need you. Lord, I want your blessing in my life. Lord, I want your blessing over my wife and my children and my husband. I want your blessing in my church. Lord, I need you and I'm not going to stop until I have your blessing. Do you know that so often we become so passive in our Christian life? And when we become desperate for God, it shows us how passive we really have been. Luke chapter number 8, if you will notice this passage here this morning, we begin in verse number 40. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 40. Now, when we come to Luke chapter number 8, the Lord Jesus has just left the land of Gadarene. In fact, we will talk about the maniac of Gadara. And Jesus has just left that land. He has now crossed the Sea of Galilee. And now he has come to the other side. And when he comes to the other side, there is a father, a daddy, that meets him in desperation. But there's another person that meets him as well. Let's look at the story. Luke chapter number 8. We begin in verse number 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. The ideal here is that the people are so near to him, shoulder to shoulder with Jesus. They want to be with him. They know he is the miracle-working Savior. Many of them do not trust in him, but often they want to see a great miracle. And then we come to verse number 43, and I want to stop and say this to you. It almost appears in the Bible that verses 43 until verse 48 almost seems to not belong. It almost seems as if this is taken from another chapter somewhere. But oh, this is exactly where God has placed it, because this is the story. Here is Jesus. He comes to the land and a daddy meets him. And notice what the Bible says. His name is Jairus. His daughter is laying. She's sick. She's going to die. And he's getting to Jesus. Jesus, come with me. Please come and heal my daughter. But on the way, verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now, the story continues. It's the same story. Here is Jairus, and Jairus has come to Jesus, and he has said, "Jesus, please come. My daughter, my only daughter of 12 years of age, she's dying. She's the apple of my eye. She's the joy of my life. Jesus, come." And Jesus is going with him. But now there is an interruption. Now there seems to be no doubt in Jairus' mind. If I was Jairus, I would say, hey, we don't have time for this. We've got to get to my daughter. Come on, Jesus, let's go. But Jesus stops and ministers to a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. Just the amount of time that Jairus' daughter had lived with him. And the Bible goes on to say, the story continues. The woman has been healed, and now we go on. And the Bible says in verse 49, while he yet spake, while he's still talking to the woman, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Do you know in Luke chapter number 8, I find people falling down at the feet of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? What is it going to take to get you at the feet of Jesus Christ? You may be here this morning and you are without Jesus. You are lost without Christ. And may I say to you as lovingly and kindly as I can, if you die without Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in a place called hell, separated from God forever. You see, we're all sinners here. We're born into this world with the sin nature. It's a part of our nature to sin. And because of our sin nature, it separates us from God. And that's why God gave us the greatest gift of all, and that is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth, and He was crucified. He was killed, and Jesus gave of Himself. He shed His blood for you and me. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, He rose from the grave. Jesus made a way for every man, woman, boy, and girl to have ever lived to go to heaven to spend eternity. But it is your choice. It is your choice to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you're without Jesus Christ, what's it going to take to bring you to the feet of Jesus? But most of you in here, I would say, know Christ as your Savior. And I'm a Christian this morning. But can I ask myself the question, what is it going to take for me, for all of us in here, to be found at the feet of Jesus? I'm talking about a place of desperation where we have to have God's blessing in our life, where we want to please God and we want to bear fruit for Him and we want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is it going to take? Well, let's notice, number one, I want you to notice some things here as we find in this passage. Number one, we notice the desperate people. Now, by the way, would you go back in Luke chapter number 8, and I want to show you a couple of verses about another person that was found at the feet of Jesus. Luke chapter number 8, look in verse number 26. We'll look at this story before the story of Jairus and this woman with the issue of blood, because it's all connected. The Bible says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. The Bible says in verse 27, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was an herd, and there was there, an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Look at this. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Do you understand that wherever Jesus came, he found desperate people? And folks, today, God wants to bring us to that place of desperation. By the way, if we are content to just live as we are living today, that's how we will live. By the way, if you can take it or leave it, you will always leave it. If you can say, well, if God speaks to me today in church, that's fine. And if God doesn't speak to me today, that's okay. Then may I say to you, you are not desperate. If you come to the reading of the Bible when your devotional time and you say, well, if God speaks to my heart and if God deals with me and leads me and shows me something in my life, great. And if not, that's okay too. Then you will always be without the blessing of God. If in your prayer time, if you say, you know something, I just want to kind of repeat my prayer and just say a few things. And if you are not desperate for God, as James chapter 5 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we are just content to just pray a simple prayer and to not really get a hold of God, then you will not get a hold of God. Folks, today, God is working to bring us to the place of desperation, to where we have to have God, to where we need His blessing, we need His victory in our lives. By the way, maybe you're here today, I don't know who you might be, but maybe you're dealing with the chains of sin in your life, a sin habit, something that you're in bondage to in your life, until you come to the place of desperation where you are willing to do whatever it takes to have victory, you will never have victory. You see, it is when we become desperate for God. Here I find this man that we call him the maniac of Gadara, a type of man you wouldn't want to be in your neighborhood, I can tell you that for sure. But a man that was demon-possessed, a man that was lost and without Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came to him, he delivered that man. That man put his faith and trust in Jesus, and he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus. In fact, if you were to read later on in another gospel account, you will find that that man didn't want to leave Jesus. He wanted to stay with Jesus. Why? Because he knew what Jesus had done for him. He was desperate. But look at our story. Here is this father, Jairus. And Jairus is desperate. You know, I'll tell you, just taking my daughter to college, you know, and lots of you told me, Pastor, it's going to be really hard. And I believed you, but nothing is real until it's personal, you know. Nothing is real until you experience it yourself. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's just something else. We were doing pretty good. We walked in the home after we dropped her off and walked past the bedroom. That was a bad thing. I'm thinking about tearing the bedroom down, all right? And we're just going to board it up, you know? But you know, all kinds of things come into your mind. But you know, fathers, dads here, if my daughter called me and needed me, I would do whatever it took to get to her side. Why? Because I love her. Why? Because I would be desperate to help her. And may I show you a man here. His name is Jairus. And look at this little girl. Can you envision her in your mind? Let's just imagine what she might have looked like. No doubt a cute little girl. Little pigtails in her hair. She was daddy's little girl. And she loved to play with daddy. And he spent time with her. And I mean, she was the apple of his eye. And then one day she gets sick. And she's gotten sick before. But this time it's different. And this time it's worse, and this time she's not getting better until finally the man gets to the place where he says, I've got to find Jesus. I've got to get Jesus here, and if Jesus comes here, Jesus can touch her. I know him. I know that he is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. I believe in him. And the man made his trip to find Jesus. He's desperate. But along the way, think of this man, the urgency in his heart. There's another woman that comes. And this woman, the Bible talks about her. The Bible says that she has spent all of her living on physicians. Years the woman had given up everything. By the way, can I tell you that not only do we see the divine we see the desperate people, but number two, we see the divine interruption. Here is Jairus going along, and now there is an interruption. By the way, sometimes we hate interruptions, do we not? We think, this is interrupting my life. This is interrupting my plans. But it was a divine interruption. And here was this woman. She had spent everything on physicians. And by the way, the Bible says that for 12 years, she had an issue of blood. Now, according to the Mosaic law during that time, if you had an issue of blood, this woman was hemorrhaging. She was losing blood. And according to the Mosaic law, you could not be around family, you could not be around friends, no one could touch you, and you could not touch anyone else. Can you imagine this woman for 12 years? She lived in solitude. Maybe she had a husband, maybe she had little children, maybe she had a family, but this woman for 12 years, as long as Jairus had enjoyed the sunshine of his little daughter, this woman had lived in darkness because she was away from everything that she knew and loved. This woman became desperate for God. In fact, we don't understand or know how this woman had to have become very weak. The loss of blood like that would have made her body physically weak and physically tired. But somehow this woman was able to make her way through the crowd. And she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And by the way, it's almost humorous. Jesus stopped. Now notice, the Bible says the people were thronging him. And Jesus stops and says, who touched me? Peter always said things maybe he shouldn't have said. But Peter said, Lord, Everybody is around you. What do you mean? Why do you say who touched me? Lord, everybody's touching you and everybody's touching me, and it's getting really on my nerves, you know? You can see Peter saying that. But Jesus said, no, someone touched me who needed me. Do you know, so often we can come to church when we do need God, but we don't act like we need God. Sometimes I've come to my Bible reading and my prayer time and my time alone with God and seeking to have a walk with God when I'm just not desperate for God. May God bring us to the place of desperation today. Folks, may I tell you this? We must come to the place to where we say to the Lord, Lord, I must reach you. Lord, I must have what God can only do for my life. I need what God can do in my life. I have needs that only the Lord can meet, and I need God to meet those needs. You could say today, I will never ever get help for what is wrong in my heart and life unless the Lord meets my needs. That is getting to the place of desperation. By the way, what does it mean sitting at Jesus' feet? Can I tell you this? The only hope, the only hope that you and I have this morning is found at the feet of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, at the feet of Jesus, that's where you learn. That's where you gain wisdom. That's where you trust Him. That's where you acknowledge His leadership of your life, sitting at His feet, learning from Him, saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I yield myself to you. That's where God brought the maniac of Gadara. A man lost, a man controlled by some demons, and yet he found Jesus. Now he's at Jesus' feet. He's desperate for the Lord. What about Jairus? We don't know much about Jairus' life, but Jairus no doubt had a trust in the Savior. He is desperate for God. He is desperate. He needs Jesus. He's got to have Him. And he is found at Jesus' feet. But what about this woman? Oh, this woman. Can you think of her? Can you think of how this woman is so destitute? She spent everything she had on physicians. Maybe the woman was not trusting in her Savior, not dependent upon the Lord, until finally God brought her to her wit's end. You know, Psalm chapter 107 talks about our wit's end. That's a good place to be. You know why? Because at our wit's end, that's where we have no more wit, no more knowledge on what to do. We are desperate for God. Folks, today, can I ask you something? What will it take to get you at the feet of Jesus Christ? By the way, you know something? Here we find desperate people. I know of people today that are desperate for God, desperate for His blessing and desperate for His power and desperate for His touch upon their life, desperate that they can be used of the Lord. And desperate people, can I tell you what happens to them? Their desperation motivates them to do things that they would never do unless they were desperate. You think about this man, Jairus. Would that man have walked as long as he walked to get to Jesus? Not unless he had become desperate. What about the woman who somehow fought her way through the crowd? Only heaven knows how she was able to get her way through all of those people to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Desperation caused her to do that. Oh, listen, may God help us to become desperate today, to seek His face, to draw nigh to Him like we've never drawn nigh to Him before. In fact, do you know that we have a God in heaven who is seeking us? He seeks after you. I think about my life as just a kid. You know something? I didn't seek after God. I didn't seek after God on my own. In fact, really, as a young man, I wanted nothing to do with the Lord. I don't mean that in any way irreverently. Oh, I went to church growing up in Knoxville, Tennessee. And, you know, I say, you know, my parents brought me up on drugs. They drugged me to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, you know. My mom and dad made me go to church. Boy, I'll tell you something, sitting in church, if I didn't pay attention, I'll tell you, my mom, she would take care of me when I got home. And it was serious. But can I tell you something? I wasn't desperate for God. I could take it or leave it. It was just something we did. It was something that was a part of it. But when God began to work in my life, and I began to yield to Him, and God allowed some tragedy to come into our family. By the way, sometimes it takes tragedy. Sometimes it takes something to waken us, to see that we need something that we cannot provide ourselves, that within my own heart, there is nothing that I can do to fix myself. Hey, listen, folks, that's where God wants to bring us, to the place of desperation. By the way, it is at the feet of Jesus, to where we find His blessing, to where we will find it in no other place. There is a satisfaction. There is a fulfillment. There is a joy at His feet where we will find it in no place else. By the way, when you and I get to the point of desperation, I'm talking about where we are desperate for God. Look here. Sometimes I'm so convicted about my prayer life. And my prayer life, is it really desperate? Do I really need God? And sometimes my prayer life can become so stale and cold, and I'm just saying the same things. But where is it that we get along with God? And we say, God, I need you today. And Lord, my wife needs you, and my husband needs you, and my children need you. And would you work in their lives? And would you work in our home? And would you work in our church? Where? What is going to take to get us to that place? By the way, mom and dad, when are you going to get desperate for your children to pray for them to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but to have a heart for the Lord? We ought to be desperate for that. Where are we going to be desperate in our marriage? Years ago, I remember in a church where we served for many years, I remember knowing a couple that were struggling in their marriage. I mean, it was bad. And I remember on one Sunday morning, the pastor was preaching, and I watched that husband. He was kind of proud and self-sufficient, very successful and all of that. But he was so self-serving. But that morning, God broke his heart. I watched him come to the aisle, kneel on his face, and weep. I'd never seen the man cry a day in my life. But God broke him. Can I tell you something? God brought him to the place of desperation. And it's there. Look, you know something? When we come to that place of desperation, it enables us to understand how passive we have really been about God and knowing Him. Do you know something today? Do you know what is wrong in America? You say, I know what's wrong, Pastor. All this evil and all the sin. That's not necessarily what's wrong. Oh, that's a problem. He said, I know what's wrong in America, all the violence that we have. Oh, that's a problem, but that's not really the root cause. You say, Pastor, what is wrong in America? I'm going to tell you what's wrong. It is the Christians who are passive for God. In fact, what did the Bible say in the book of Chronicles? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need a healing today. We need revival today. But the revival begins in my heart, and it begins in your heart, and it begins when we become desperate, when we say, I've got to have God, and I'm going to spend time in prayer until I know that my heart is right with Him. The old timers used to call it praying through, when they would pray and long enough to where God gave them peace to know that they were right with Him. And that they were seeking His face. But how often, how dangerous it is for us to become so passive. We've been so blessed. We've been blessed by God. He has blessed this church. He has blessed you. When we just take it for granted and we become passive. Just a casual Christianity. May I say to you, there is no painless way to follow Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as a crossless Christianity. And there is a cross that we must bear. Folks, today, may God make us desperate for Him. I remember when I first began preaching. And I remember that first time I preached. It was terrible. I'll just be honest with you. And I remember thinking, I can't do this. I remember thinking, I just can't figure this out on how to study and prepare and all of that. And I remember one time in particular, one of the first times, I'd studied and man, I just didn't have anything from the Lord. I remember I got on my knees before God and I prayed and I begged God for His blessing. I begged God for His strength. I studied more and I begged the Lord. Man, I was in holy desperation before God. Can I tell you something? On that day, when I stood before the people to preach, God enabled me. Why? Because I was desperate for Him. folks today, what is it going to take to get you at the feet of Jesus Christ? We see the desperate people, and desperation motivates us to do things that we would never do. But secondly, we see the divine interruption. And by the way, when we think of this, and by the way, it's not just about doing things. You see, desperation is not, okay, I'm going to do more for God. And I'm all for us being busy for the Lord. I mean, we're busy here at this church, and you're busy, and I'm busy. But it's not. There is no substitute for spirituality. Activity is no substitute for spirituality. Just doing more is not the answer. The answer today is this. It is not just doing something that we need. It is seeking God in holy desperation. Look here. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but do you have some needs today? I have some needs. I have things in my heart and life that only God can fix. And only God. And by the way, sometimes your trials and my trials, God lets them get greater and greater until finally, in desperation, we seek Him and then we find strength. Because I'm going to tell you, you do the same thing I do. We try to fix it on our own. We think, I can handle this burden. I've got this. I can fix this. I can change this. I can talk to people. I'll make people do the right thing. And I'll get this worked out. And then guess what happens? We make a mess of things. And the burden gets greater and greater. And God is allowing it so that finally we will roll our burden upon Jesus and say, Lord, I can't do it anymore. God, I need you. I need you. Look here, folks. God has blessed us here at Grace Baptist Church. I'm blessed to be your pastor. I'm thankful. We're seeing people saved and we're seeing lives transformed and changed. But let me tell you something. We must remain a people like Jairus and like this woman with the issue of blood, that we are at the feet of our Savior saying, God, we are not satisfied. We are not content just to have it as it was. We want your blessing and we want your hand upon our life. And look here, have you come to the place in life where you're just content? You've gone far enough in your Christian life. You know God as much as you want to know Him, when the Lord has so much more for you. God has so much more for you to do. He has so much more for you to know of Him. It's called desperation. This divine interruption. By the way, we think sometimes about things that happen to us that, Lord, I don't need this interruption. I don't need it. This woman who had this issue of blood, and as she interrupted the scene on there that day, it was no interruption. It was divine. You see, there is Jairus. Now, I want you to think about him just for a minute. There is him. Jesus, come. Lord, come. She's dying. And if we don't get there in time, she's going to die. By the way, most of us have a line drawn in the sand to where we think, God, we believe you can do this, but over that line, we just don't think God can do it. And that's kind of where Jairus was. He thought, as long as I get Jesus there, she's going to be okay. But may I say to you, it is a greater miracle than to heal the sick, than to raise the dead. And that's what Jesus was going to do all along. He allowed this divine interruption. Now you say, Pastor, why? Why? Why not before this? Why not now? Why this purpose? There was a great purpose in it. You see, Jairus needed to be interrupted to understand something. You know something? God interrupts our lives because He wants to bring us to the place where someone is living in the darkness all the while that we have been living in the sunshine. Do you understand that for 12 years, Jairus loved and played and enjoyed the sunshine of his little girl? 12 long years. He loved it. I mean, there was his little daughter. And the whole time Jairus was loving his little girl, a woman was living in solitude, in living in just hopelessness, and living in despondency for 12 years. She's lived in darkness. And folks, may I say to you, sometimes we just want our world to be fixed. My life, my family, my world. Lord, take care of me. When God wants to divinely interrupt us to get our eyes off of just us and what we need, to get our eyes on others, that while we are living in the sunshine, look here, you are blessed today. You can come to a church and hear the preaching of God's word and hear great singing, and you can have friendships and fellowship together. But there are people out there that are in the bondage of sin. They are living in darkness while we are living in the light. You know what God does? He divinely interrupts us to show us that there is a world in need. Folks, look here. We are not here to just live for ourselves. We are here to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not here just to get what we can get from God. Lord, do for me. Take care of me. Meet my needs. It is all about us being interrupted and disturbed to say, God, I'm here to be a light to this lost and dying world. You see, it is, by the way, some people need God and others just need things from God. And you're either one of those two, and I'm one of those two. I've been so convicted lately about, have I really wanted God, or I just want something from God? Am I just using God, or do I want to be used of God? You see, that is why God interrupted Jairus. Jairus, I'm going to take care of your girl. But Jairus, I want you to see a woman who for 12 years, while that whole time you've been enjoying the sunshine of your daughter, she's lived in darkness. And Jairus, there are lots of people that live in the darkness. Number three, the last thing that we find here today is not only do we find the desperate people when we find the divine interruption, but number three, we find the deliverance of the Savior. We go back to Luke chapter number 8. I want to show you some things here, and they're so wonderful. Go back to Luke 8 and verse number 48. Notice what the Bible says. The Word of God says, and He said, Luke chapter number 8, and we look in verse number 48, and He said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Now He's speaking to this woman. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now I want you to notice the tenderness that Jesus spoke to this woman. He called her daughter. Now look at that. That's precious, is it not, daughter? Folks, today we have a Savior who wants to bring deliverance to people. He wants to deliver you today. Look here, I don't know where you're at in your life, but maybe you have something in your heart that just keeps you in bondage. It might be fear. It might be the past. It might be some sin habit. It might be something in your life that you cannot cope with. And by the way, there's lots of coping mechanisms today, is there not? Do you know that drugs and alcohol and smoking and pornography and all of that, those are sin, but there are coping mechanisms. People are dealing with it. In fact, it's a big epidemic in schools today about the vaping. They call it juuling, and kids are smoking today, and they're using these electronic cigarettes to be able to do it. Now look, may I say to you, you say, why are kids doing that? Well, we may say popularity and all that, but we have kids that are dealing with pain in their heart. Emotional pain and spiritual pain. They are lost without Jesus Christ. They are looking for something to cope with the pain in their heart, the struggles, no doubt, in their families and their homes. But there is no deliverance in those. That only brings more bondage, and it only brings more slavery to them. But we have a Savior this morning who wants to bring deliverance to you and me. But I'm going to tell you where the deliverance is found. It is found at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's where it's found. Take your Bibles and let's go. You're in Luke chapter number 8, and let's go to Luke chapter number 10, if you would please. We turn over just a few pages. And by the way, the book of Luke, what a great book it is. But let's go to Luke chapter 10 and verse number 38. Notice what the Bible says. Folks, today, God wants us to come to the place in our life to see that we have the greatest need of all. I want to be there. Look here, I'm your pastor, and sometimes people wrongly think that the pastor, he's perfect somehow. Well, you stay with me long enough and you'll find that to be not true, all right? Or just ask my wife and she'll tell you the truth, okay? Look here. You know what I need? I want to become a desperate man for God. Desperate. And the Lord does things to break us up and to bring us in desperation. What's He doing? He's bringing us to His feet. Why? Because it is at His feet. Think of this. Think of kneeling at the feet of our Savior. A place of surrender. By the way, the great battle that you and I have is not really a battle with other people. It's a battle with God. It's a yielding to God. The greatest enemy we have is really ourselves. We are at war with God today. And the place of surrender is at the feet of Jesus, saying, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do with my life. Yes, Lord, I'll give that up. Yes, Lord, I'll confess that and forsake that. Yes, Lord, I'll obey You. Well, we come to Luke chapter number 10, and we find two sisters, Mary and Martha. Good ladies, ladies who know the Lord Jesus and love Him. But the Bible says in Luke 10, verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. These are not words of disdain or words of hatred. These are words of compassion. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Can I, in closing, say this to you? Here is Mary and Martha. You're either a Martha or you're a Mary today. Martha, we commend her for her working. We commend her for getting everything ready. I believe she was no doubt a perfectionist. I mean, hey, if Jesus is coming to your home, would you not want everything to be perfect? I know some of you feel that way because when I call you, not yet, Pastor, don't come to my house yet. Wait, all right? We've got to call EPA in and all that, all right? We've got to get things taken care of. I'm just kidding. But you know, here's Martha. She's like, whoa, we got to get everything ready. Jesus is coming. He's coming to our house. This is great. I mean, we commend her for that. And I believe Mary was busy as well. The scriptures indicate that she was working, but when Jesus showed up, Mary stopped. And she sat at His feet. Martha kept going. Martha, there's too much to do. And then Martha says something that reveals the condition of our hearts and why we do not sit at Jesus' feet. She said, Lord, dost Thou not care? Today, are you here and you think in your heart, does God not care about me and what I'm going through? Does God not understand the struggle I'm in? Does God not know the pain, the sorrow, the heartache that I'm dealing with? Yes, He knows. He cares. But you're not sitting at His feet. Can you see Martha running around? Oh, we got to get this fixed up. Jesus is here. We got to have everything ready. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha. I think Jesus said, whoa, Martha, stop. Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Folks, that is what is needful for your life and my life. What is it going to take to get you at the feet of Jesus Christ? I remember being in Bible college, and I went to college, and God began to do a work in my heart. And can I tell you what happened? I got desperate for God. I had to have His blessing. I wasn't going to go a day, a moment, without being in His Word and being in prayer. I wasn't going to miss church. I needed God. I wanted His blessing in my life. But there's some of us here. I don't know who you are, but you're not desperate for God. You can take it or leave it. Being at Jesus' feet is only an option for you. But for us today, there is no option. We want His blessing. We want His power. We want to be used of Him. We need Him for our families. We need Him for our church. We need Him for our lost loved ones. That is where God wants to bring us. And you find it at His feet. Today, if you're here and you're without Jesus, come to His feet. He'll save you and forgive you and give you a home in heaven for all of eternity. But if you're here today and you're a Christian and you're just passive, look, I've been there and you have been there. And you're just kind of at that attitude of, well, just kind of going as normal. Then God wants to break up something in your life. He wants to interrupt you to see in your passiveness, you are missing people that are living in darkness. He wants to interrupt you to bring you to a place of desperation. Let's bow our heads in prayer.